Guardian Castleberry right now. Let's put him on the line. Ian, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, sorry about that. I was calling the wrong number.
All right, no problem. Like I told you in emails, we're going to make this painless as possible. The Detroit Tigers had...
Joe, you can't hurt me.
The Detroit Tigers had first place in the American League Central since May, I believe it was. And they had, what was it, probably a 7-game lead going into August. How do I put this other than, what the hell happened? Somebody who watches every game, game in, game out, blogs about it, and this is Ian from BlessYouBoys.com, what the hell happened, man? What happened? What part of the team faltered? It didn't seem like it was anything that specific, that this would happen.
Well, it's kind of, you know, when you blow up a lead that big, it's not any one thing. It's kind of a lot of small things that eventually build into, you know, the starting pitching faltered a little bit. The injuries, I think, caught up to them, especially at the very end with the depth of the starting rotation. The bullpen, which had been pretty locked down, got pretty soft, especially in the middle innings. Guys like Bobby C, who were really dependable suddenly, whether it was because of injury or whatnot, weren't nearly as effective. And the team struggled with hitting all season long, and that really came back to bite him, especially in that final series of the season against the White Sox.
And it's amazing,
and
because
the Twins won, you know, 17 to 21 games.
That helps, and sometimes you don't always control your own destiny in baseball, but, I mean, you know, and I get into trouble for being too harsh with some of my guests, but you know that I like the Tigers, and you've been on my show, this is probably, like, your 15th time on this show. You know, I do like the Detroit Tigers. I gotta be dead honest with you. Verlander was good, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of Yankee fans are all, who do you want, the Twins or the Tigers? To me, you know, it was picking two poisons. If you pick the Tigers, you're gonna have Verlander, and you know, if you pick the Twins out for the Yankees. But, I mean, was the second half failures of Edwin Jackson big? Because Edwin Jackson, I think, had a sub-3 ERA the first 2 months of the season. Moving on down, and you'll know the numbers better than me, moving on, you know, the other 4 months or so of the season, he wasn't nearly as good. And then how about the Jared Washburn trade? I mean, this was a guy that was supposed to come in, give them innings, and just, like, lock up their playoff berth. What happened with those two guys?
Trade deadline acquisitions absolutely were disasters. I mean, they couldn't have gotten... I don't think Washburn could have pitched much worse, and Huff gave them absolutely nothing. If they get a contribution from either one of those guys, let alone both, they're probably in the playoffs.
And it's amazing.
But Jackson's collapse also was a major factor, as you pointed out. I mean, he was not good in September, and you know, he probably would have, had they made the playoffs, he probably would have started game one against the Yankees, which I don't think anyone, any Tigers fans anyway, would have liked to see.
It is crazy, and I keep using the word amazing because it really is amazing. And last time we had you on, I forget when it was, but we were joking back and forth at the end of the interview about Jim Leland smoking cigarettes. And now, I mean, how many cigarettes have you think he's gone through since the end of last week?
Oh, he even talked about it after one game. Somebody was asking him how his blood pressure was handling these tight games in a tight race, and he was joking, probably half joking, that, you know, his blood pressure goes up, but he lights up a Marlboro and it goes down. And he admitted he goes up in the tunnel because he doesn't want any of the kids seeing him smoke. I don't know if he meant the kids on his team or kids watching on TV.
Well, I'm sure they'd be bumming one off
a bunch.
And it's a fascinating thing. Where do the Tigers go from here? I mean, Verlander went through the stretch, and people forget, just because he looks like he's about 39 years old, Justin Verlander is only 25, 26, 27, you know, I think he's 26 years old. I mean, he's still a young pitcher. And this time last year, we didn't know what the hell was going to go on with the Tigers. Now, sure, there's questions with their offense and their payroll as the Ordonez option vested itself. But, I mean, where do the Tigers go from here? Or do you think they're in a good position going forward? Or do you think they're really just up, you know what, creek without a paddle?
Yeah, they're in a tough position because I think there's not a lot of wiggle room. I think the team they had this year is going to be pretty similar to the team they have next try to get maybe a little younger, maybe a little cheaper.
How about the closing situation? They're losing Fernando Rodney and I believe Brandon Lyon. Where do they go with their closing situation? I mean, this was a bullpen that was actually quite surprisingly pretty damn good. Where do they go with the bullpen? That's probably going to be one of the biggest questions.
Well, they're probably going to... I think they're going to bring one of the two back, unless... More likely Brandon Lyon, unless he just fetches, you know, a lot of interest on the free agent market. The team has made a major investment over the past couple of years in the draft, in drafting relievers. I think they'd probably prefer to have a veteran guy closing games until someone like Ryan Perry is ready to close some games out. But they're not going to go crazy, I don't think, to sign a veteran closer. I mean, they didn't do it this year. They had a chance. You know, there were some big names available. And they opted for a lower cost free agent who worked out for him. But, you know, still Fernando Rodney was the closer. They kept it in-house. I think that's pretty much the way they're going to go.
He was very good. I'm going to say he's a bit unreliable because of his injury history. I'm going to throw some names at you because, you know, obviously when a team collapses the way they did, you know, i.e. 2006-2007 Mets, 2007-2008, sorry, Mets, you're going to look. I mean, here are some names for closing jobs. You're going to see possibly Billy Wagner hit the free agent market. You're going to see Jose Valverde. You're going to see, obviously, Lyon and Zamaya. You don't think they would at all experiment with some of these free agent names, you know, Valverde, or I heard even as crazy as this is, I heard a name like Papelbon being thrown around possibly in trade talks as they may be looking to unload him.
Yeah, I don't see the Tigers getting involved in any of that, especially for a guy like Valverde who's probably going to get big money. If they use their free agent money on a reliever, it's going to be to re-sign someone like Rodney or Brandon Lyon. I don't know what the Red Sox will be looking for in return to get somebody like Papelbon. That might be something the Tigers would be interested in, depending on what the Red Sox want. But again, I still think they're going to keep it in house, and fans probably are going to like that. It's going to be a little scary, but I think it's the way they've built their team over the past couple of years.
Now, on the other side of the ball, Ian, and we're talking to Ian Castleberry, BlessYouBoys.com, about the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers are a good team, but how about the offensive side of the ball? Obviously, they did not hit their stride basically all season long. They started to hit a little bit better towards the end, I guess you could say. But they're going to look at Miguel Cabrera, who's a perennial MVP candidate, great ball player. Then they have... we have a call from California. Then you have... that's the other guy. Then you have all these other guys. In short, because we got to get to the next caller, where do they go, Ian?
They're just going to have to hope for guys like Carlos Guillen and Megan Ordonez to produce next year. I don't think there's a lot of wiggle room unless, you know, they might try to sign a left fielder. Maybe, you know, they'll get some offensive help if they play Alex Avila more at catcher. Maybe Scott Sizemore is one of their top prospects. He's a good hitter. He might take over at second base next year for Placido Polanco, but they're not going to go out and sign a big hitter. I mean, they took their shot, however big a shot you want to call it, with Aubrey Huff, and that just didn't work out. You know, they have a lot of the same type of player with Megan Ordonez and Carlos Guillen and a lot of DH guys who they have to stick in the outfield. And, you know, unless they make some sort of move where kind of like what they did with Sheffield this year, and get rid of them and try to find another younger player to plug in and make their lineup more versatile, I can see them getting rid of Carlos Guillen and eating his contract. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I have a hard time seeing them make a move for a corner outfielder.
Well, having a hard time is something you've had a lot this season. Ian Castleberry, BlessYouBoys.com. I try to make this as painless as possible. We'll talk to you again in the offseason. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
All right, check him out. Ian Castleberry, BlessYouBoys.com.